Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offer for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Doctrinal error statements that have come into the church. Some places where the church has left what the Bible is teaching us about some important things. And so we're examining several of these statements to see that we can be very cautious not to go adrift. And today, I want to talk to you about a very, very important topic. I want to talk to you about the church. Everybody say the church. Okay, and here's why it's an important topic. Because right now, our culture has done a major shift, as we've said kind of every week in the past couple of decades. We've had a major shift. In fact, our culture has changed. Normally, when they see cultural swings, it happens over a generation. So you're talking like, you know, a 50-year span. We have gone like a 50 years worth of change in just a few years. Okay? And people are struggling to keep up. And one of the things that we've noticed is that there is an acute distrust of institutions, primarily institutions that we see in our society. Let me give you some examples. Pew Research, around 1960, roughly 70% of Americans trusted government. Now, that has been a steady decline, and now it is sitting at a rocking 16%. We've gone from 70% to 16%. And we can have lots of conversations about that. According to Gallup, in 1976, 70% of the people in the United States of America had strong trust and confidence in media. Okay? Now, Walter Cronkite. This is, you know, this. And now, anyone want to take a guess? We're down to 7%. 7% of people trust media, have strong trust in media. Now, there are many, many factors of late that have attributed to this free fall, this plummet. Certainly the handling of the pandemic as we get more and more information, financial meltdowns, and the information age, which is a double-edged sword because it shines a light on corruption, but it also spreads mistruths and conspiracy theories. So you have two things that are happening at the same time. You have an influx of information, some of it factual and some of it not factual. Now, according to Lifeway Research, here's what I want to bring that's our culture. How has it affected the church? Trust in the church in the United States of America has also fallen dramatically. From 70% in the 1970s, last year, that number came back to just over 30%. That's a massive change. Where people used to trust the church, there is now massive distrust in the church. Now, why has the church taken a hit? Respondents list viewing the church has become too political, it has become too hypocritical, it has become too racist, as if there's a level of racist that's okay. No, it's racist, that's uncaring, it's judgmental, they're self-righteous. And as we shared last week, the view that the church somehow says that they have a claim to absolute truth. People view that with skepticism. Now, as we said last week, we're not telling you our truth. We're telling you what Jesus said, which has become our truth, not because we've decided it, but because Jesus presented truth and then backed it up with signs and wonders and miracles. But you know, before we continue in our conversation, I have to just honestly say, in many cases, the bad reputation of the church has been well merited. In fact, we have behaved poorly. There are many people in the church who have actually been a very poor, poor example. Now, news media is full of stories of ministerial misconduct, of poor ethical behavior. And I would say that probably everybody in this room has the church done me wrong story. Probably everybody, or if you haven't, you know somebody who has had a church has done me wrong stories. I get tired of, it seems like about every few weeks on the headlines, you see another prominent evangelical leader falling to sexual immorality, financial misconduct, or toxic leadership. I would say that perhaps if we valued character over charisma in terms of our assignment to trust, we would be well served. Now, nevertheless, these headlines continue to drive distrust of the church in terms of careers that were thought as trustworthy and people looked up. It used to be that ministers scored extremely high, and now we rank right around used car salesmen. No offense to used car salesmen, but the reputation of individuals who sometimes are not necessarily as ethically sound. Is that the church that Jesus came to establish? In fact, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. And I want to kind of show you what the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Christians at Ephesus, and writing to the church, he's letting us know some important things about our calling. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And how should we walk? Verse 2, and walk in love. And he tells us what type of love we're supposed to walk in. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, now he's going to drill down even a little farther. But sexual immorality and all impurity and covetousness must not be even named among you as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness nor foolish talk nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be what, church family? Thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them, for at one time, you are in darkness. Let's all read this line together. But now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. That's our calling. We're supposed to walk as children of light. Now, I'm saying this not to say, hey, we have some type of a legalistic mindset that we follow a bunch of rules, but something has happened in our heart where we're so appreciative of the new life that Christ has offered us, that this is how we're supposed to be imitators of God. Jesus was our example. Jesus could say, if you're seeing me, you're seeing the Father. Can we say to people, as you look at me, you're seeing Christ? Boy, I'm just like, I got a long way to go. How many else got a long way to go? And it's because we raise our hands to that sentence that we give the church kind of a bad name. Now, this is not a guilt sermon. This is a why is the church important sermon. I would say that this is our calling to reflect Christ, and we have a long ways to go. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, he then brings some pretty cool things. He says, look, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her. So he's talking about this relationship on earth of husbands and wives, but he's really using it to talk about what the church should look like and what Christ and the church did. He said, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Why? That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her, the church, by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. A lot of people today are focused on, am I saved? Am I saved? You know, I'm going to stand before God. And yes, you are, but we're missing the point. We are going to stand before God. We are called together. Everybody say together. Together. No, together. You got to say it with some attitude. We are called together. And sometimes that's difficult. See, Christ makes us holy, and he is going to present the church, and we are called to be part of something, the ecclesia, the church, that which is called out of the world and called unto Christ. And here's the culture that we're in is me, 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 me. I got to take my selfie. I got to do my everything. It's all about me finding my way. No, we find our way. So here's the problematic popular belief that I want to challenge today. That's this: encouraging the personal search is more important than group uniformity. Now, is this some type of, you're like, oh, that sounds communist to me. No. What we're understanding is God has called us to be part of the family, not an isolated child. And I know our culture today is all about my individuality. Great. You are unique. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And yes, you are unique, but you are uniquely called as part. Everybody say part. Part of the body of Christ. Remember, Paul talks about the analogy of the body with many parts. It's not like the finger is going to go to be with God. No, the whole body is going to be called together. And now here's the problem. Here's the problem. What we're seeing today is that people see the imperfections, which I am readily acknowledging that there are imperfections, but they see imperfections within the church and they say, dunzo, I'm out. I'm out. And our culture, as we spoke last week, everyone is told to make their own way, to make their own truth. And so we pick and choose little things we like, and we will come to be part of the church until we see its fault, until we see someone who doesn't line up, and then we say, we're out, we're going to go somewhere else, and we're going to dwell with them until the surface, you know, melts away, and then we see that these are imperfect people, and then we say out, and we go from church to church to church to church to church, and we never learn to grow and to be conformed to something that Christ is calling us to. Well, Pastor, you sounds like you're just trying to have everybody be in controlled by some organization. Yeah, I am. But the control is not by a person or not by a pastor. It is submitted to the bride of Christ, Jesus. That's the head of the church, Christ. Everyone must make their own decision. Yeah, but progressive Christians say that the journey is all that matters. It's individualistic and it's personal. And here's the assumption, and this is huge, gang. We are taught today that everyone has to find their own way. They have to find their way to God. Let me tell you, that is not Christianity. Christianity is you didn't find God. And people have come into the church with that thing. Well, it's my journey and I finally found Christ. Let me tell you something, honey. You didn't find Christ. He found you. He came to you. He left heaven, came to earth to demonstrate and to show you. It is Christ who came and sought and to find you. You didn't search and find him. Remember John? In John's epistle, he said, look, this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. He sent Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. You're here today and you think, well, I made the decision to come today. No, you didn't. The Holy Spirit was drawing you. He was knocking on your door. You don't come to God's door and knock and say, let me in. He said, look, I don't know you. No, the Holy Spirit was prompting you. And that is so countercultural today because the culture today says it's all about me. I hate to burst your little perfect bubble, but we are all messed up and we don't have that level of power or authority. I know, don't egg my car. This is what makes Christianity so unique from other religions of the world. Jesus has come down. God has come down to us. Religions of this world say this is what we do to get to God. Ain't nothing you can do to get to God. It's what Jesus did. We recognize it and we respond and we submit. Everybody say submit. As we read, look, the church is not a building. It's not an organization. It is the people who've received Jesus Christ as Lord. And now we are part of the family of God. In the Old Testament, it's types and shadows. We had kind of this image of it, and that God went and he called Abram. He called him to be to his own. He called the children of Israel. It was all God instituted and God centered. And we now have fulfilled that promise in the New Testament through Christ. Christ is important and the church is important to Christ. Jesus didn't come to establish a building or an organization. He came to call a people of which we are honored to be part of that. So three things as to why that this is an important concept. The first thing is this. Point one, people are imperfect. Anybody disagree with that? How many of you know an imperfect person? Look in the mirror. The church is made up of imperfect people. And that is us. Sometimes the church doesn't look like the Bible describes it to be. And if I ask people today, raise your hand if you've ever gotten hurt in the church, man, people would have their arms in a sling, right? If you've ever been burned by the church or by church members or hurt by a church leader, just welcome this. You are in a large group. In fact, it would be more unique to find someone who's never been offended or hurt. When people begin to come to the church, I usually say this: I will make you one promise. I promise that sometime I'm going to let you down. That's a promise that I can fulfill. I promise. I am imperfect. I am not perfect. I miss the mark. There's times I try to help people, and in my efforts of helping them, I fall woefully short. I mess up. There are times that I have been hurt by people. There are times the hand that's trying to feed them gets bitten. That happens. Why? Because people are not perfect. Consider this. This started, as people see this, progressive Christianity says, see the bad behavior, throw it out. Throw out the baby with the bathwater. Look, consider this. Jesus called imperfect disciples. They struggled to understand his teachings and apply them. Check, that's us. They lost their temper. How many of you, did you know that Jesus' followers lost their temper? I mean, think about this. The sons of thunder. These are two of Jesus' disciples, James and John. They're walking around and someone's, they're seeing people and they're like, can we call fire from heaven down to consume them? How loving. They done ticked me off. So we're going to call fire down to burn them up. One of them, remember the Apostle Peter in the garden, pulled out a sword, cut off somebody's ear. Does that sound like nice Christ-like response? They had unbelief. They had pride. They thought it was all about themselves. They had the wrong spirit. They were shallow in their commitment. One of them betrayed them. Sound familiar? Why is this important to know? Because God calls imperfect people to be perfected through the applied blood of Jesus. But we should never claim that we are sinless. But as John writes, we should be honest about our flaws. I mean, I get so tired of people. I like this meme. I saw this week and it made me chuckle. Hello, may I please speak with Jesus? Because these folks going to make me break at least four of the Ten Commandments. Yep. Let's guess which ones. I love the comment of Ruth Graham. They were interviewing Ruth Graham about her long, long marriage to Billy Graham. They said, did you ever think about leaving your husband? Did you ever think about that? And he says, oh, no. I never thought about breaking a command, but I did think about murder. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. The Apostle Paul writes, and the church of Corinth was a mess. I mean, they were a mess. We would probably identify with them because they were just done messed up. He says, look, consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Okay? Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the, I love this, verse 30. Let's all read this together, ready? He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. If you walk away from this message saying that somehow Pastor Michael said that we need to just be better, you missed the boat. This is not try harder. This is give it to God and recognize that our calling is not to manufacture something in and of ourselves. Our calling is to yield to the Holy Spirit. That's the beauty. It's not us. It's not about us. It's not about our ability and our talent. It's not about our charisma. It's about the grace of God that he extends to us. And as we yield and we apply this, we get this deeper relationship where we are totally dependent upon him. Now, so the church is made up of imperfect people who are called to rely on him. He is our source of wisdom and he is our righteousness. Now, I know that the church is messed up, and this is not an excuse. I am not defending bad behavior. I am not defending mistakes. I'm saying that the moment that we need to understand that we're called to be part of something, if we ever get to the place where we're saying we're imperfect and we're just going to accept that, no, we don't accept. This is what hinders the church. They say, oh, we're all not perfect people, therefore quit trying. No. Don't accept, I just have a short temper. Recognize, confess it, and talk to God about that. And be honest and upfront with the Lord, and he will help work with you. Which brings me to my second point. My second point is this. Look, you can't make it on your own. You can't make it. If we go back to the Garden of Eden, God creates man. He puts him in the garden, and he says something. It is not good for a man to be alone. This flies so much in the face of our current cultural moment, where this cultural moment we're in says it's all about the individual. It's all about you finding your way. You can't make it on your own. The best of us can't do it. The very, very best cannot make it on their own. You think, well, I don't sin as much as that person down there. You still need Jesus. The person who's been in the church their whole life, they grew up singing in the choir. They cried as a baby on key. They played Jesus in the Nativity. Guess what? They still need Jesus. Our righteousness, Isaiah says, our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. We can't make it on our own. In fact, according to Scripture, the purpose of the church should be to teach biblical doctrine, to provide a place for fellowship for believers, to observe the Lord's Supper, to pray together. And we have a purpose and a commission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through 15. But how are they to call on him who they have not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Who sends them? That's part of the church, is we're supposed to equip. And you've heard me say umpteen thousand times, my job is not to save anybody. It is not to go. My job is to serve and to love. And it's our job. Everybody say our job. As part of the church, we have a great commission. It's our job to share the gospel. It's our job to invite people into the fellowship to hear the gospel. And again, it's the Holy Spirit moving on them. I could probably look around the room and say, everybody, you came because someone invited you, because someone said something, because the Holy Spirit drew you. And when the Holy Spirit drew you, you responded. Very few times did someone just kind of wander in. It's usually a beginning. It happens and something's, you know, God's prompted something on your heart. You heard something, you heard a conversation, and then you felt the Lord's drawing. The church is commissioned to be called and to take the gospel and to teach Christians to do the same. Ecclesiastes 4:10 talks that it's two are better than one, because if one falls, the other person can pick them up. How many of you have fallen? How many of you have just messed up? I would say probably all of us from time to time. And that's why it's important to have the church. But here's what Satan tries to do. He says, look, I fell. I messed up. Boy, I backslid. And now I got to wait and fix myself so I feel good enough to go to church. Let me tell you something. That's the absolute wrong response. If you say, I messed up, and oh, the church, I hear this one and I just want to back. When people walk in, oh, if I walk in the door, the church would fall down. Get over yourself. Seriously, that's pride talking. That is nothing but pride. I'm so important. If I were to walk in the doors, the church would crumble. No, you wouldn't. You totally don't get it. The fact that someone would walk in here and say that, here's what God is saying. I'm drawing you. Why? To be part of something and to experience grace, to experience love, to be built together. Progressive Christianity says, it doesn't matter if you sin, it doesn't matter if you all, because you make your own truth. You find your own way. The church teaches that there is an eternal truth of God and that we are here to help one another. We are here to help restore one another. We are here to work the rough edges. Does anybody in this room have some rough edges? I do. I will totally say, I have missed it. I have messed up. I have tried. I can say that not intentionally. I can honestly say I haven't intentionally, but unintentionally, boy, I have totally blown it from time to time. You know, that old church sign that says, don't let worries kill you. Let the church help. Yeah, we see that from time to time. Which brings me to point three, our final point today. So point one was the church is full of imperfect people. Point two is we can't make it on our own. Point three is this. To all you imperfect people in the room, God uses imperfect people. God uses imperfect people. You can say, oh, well, Pastor, yeah, you're such, I'm an imperfect person. I have missed the mark. As obvious, I'm a recovering workaholic. God had to put training wheels back on my bike to slow me down. And all of these things are what happened. These are what happens. God uses imperfect people. Matthew chapter 16, 18. Understand that he's having this conversation with the apostle Peter. And if we look at the context is so important. And he's telling Peter, he's like asking people, who do they say I am? Who do the people say I am? And they're like, okay, well, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're one of the prophets. Some say you're this or that. And then he says, well, who do you say I am? In other words, I want to talk to you about your relationship with me. Who do you see I am? And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here's Jesus' response to that, to Peter saying that. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, what is this rock? Well, it's, people say, oh, well, that's the word Petra, and the word Peter is Petros in the Greek, that somehow he's making a correlation there. No, it's not the apostle Peter that is the rock. The rock is relationship with Jesus Christ. Who do you say I am? You can't have my faith. I can't have your faith. You can't have your siblings or your parents. That's why it's such a beautiful baptism a few weeks ago. Well, we had Emma saying, look, you know, I had my parents' faith. I have, and I still agree with it. And now it is my faith. We have people who've been brought up within the church. And I want you to know it has got to be your faith. That's what's going to sustain you when you go to college. That's what can sustain you when you head out, is when it's your faith. It's a relationship that you have with God, and that's the rock on which the church is built. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And that relationship is, I like this, the church. So individual relationship with Jesus Christ is brought in the confines of all of us together. And we are the family of God. We are family. I love that. Should be in the hymn book. No. A perfect God has called and perfect, called and perfected imperfect people to be used by him. Charlotte, you can come up. So how can that happen? It happens by relationship with him, accepting this revelation. And by the way, contextually, here's a pretty cool thing. Here's what a few verses later, if you read Matthew 16, Jesus rebukes Peter and calls him Satan. Does that sound like a perfect person? God uses imperfect people, and you're going to mess up. You're not going to necessarily get it. Don't use that as an excuse to continue to not get it. But lean into your relationship with him. Who is Jesus to you? Every person sitting here today, those of you who are online, I want to ask you this question. Who is Jesus to you? Do you try to take the things that he taught just to make you feel better? I want to tell you, if that's your seeking Christ, you're missing it. This life is not all there is. Jesus has the words of life, but those are eternal words of life. Progressive Christianity says it's all about the here and now. I'm telling you, Jesus is talking about preparing us for eternity. The church is used to help us grow together. And that's why us walking together, it's hard to walk together. Some of you are really prickly. Some of I am too. And as we walk together, that begins to rub off those edges. And that's a good thing. The church is here not to make you happy. The church exists to fulfill God's plan here on earth. Let me say that again. The church is not here to make you happy. It is an instrument of God to help us become holy. We are called to be a part of it, and the rewards are eternal. So don't look for all of your rewards here and now. There will be struggles and challenges. We will have tribulation. So how can we have a perfect union with an imperfect God? I'm sorry, a perfect union with imperfect people through a perfect God. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, our final scripture today. And by this we know that we have come to him if we keep his commandments. And whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Did Jesus walk in community, the family of Christ? Yes. Jesus talked about the church. He came and said that he was here to establish the church. We are we. Everybody say we. We are the bride of Christ. It's time for us to have our garments cleansed and made ready. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Look, I got some rough side effects on some of those meds, but guess what? I got to hang on to them, because the good is doing something powerful. And being part of the church, I'm going to tell you, we're messed up, but we're being perfected. And when he appears, we're going to be like him. Because when he appears and we see him face to face, all that ridiculousness, all that pride and control, all of our carnal stuff, do it my way, all that melts away in the presence of his glory. I can't wait for that day, but I can begin to start that journey. And I hope you will as well. The church is imperfect, but the church is called. And the church is being transformed. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. We're called to walk together and to grow together. Would you please stand and let's pray.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.